Support for WSJ comes from Comcast, committed to improving your customer service experience with two-hour appointment windows, including nights and weekends, because they should fit into your life, not the other way around. Learn more at Xfinity.com/service.
Still worried that you're overexposed on the internet? As promised, part two of Jeffrey Fowler's Guide to Online Privacy.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And we've been speaking a lot on the podcast about data that's being collected constantly and what you can do about it. Personal tech columnist for the journal Jeffrey Fowler provided a comprehensive checklist. And if you can dedicate at least an hour to work through it, you'll find that it's an important first step in defending your online privacy. Last podcast, we talked about how to share less, properly block your browser, and how to remove data. Jeff Fowler remains with us. Jeff, let's dive right back in. Now, this is something interesting. I hadn't necessarily even thought of this, but you mentioned the importance of using pseudonyms. Walk us through this. How do we go about using pseudonyms to help mask our online presence?
Hey, did you see Hamilton, the musical?
I didn't, actually. I've been trying.
Oh, okay, well, I highly recommend. Well, one of the fun things I learned in Hamilton, the musical, is that he wrote a lot of his political papers under a pseudonym. And you know what? He had kind of the right idea. You know, if you're going to get really active online with politics, leaving comments or writing blog posts or something, given the way the internet works these days, people who don't like your point of view might come after you or your family or your workplace.
Wow.
So it's a great idea to actually have a pseudonym that you write under or tweet under or whatnot. And it sort of raises this kind of bigger point. If you don't actually have to use your name, your real name or your real birthday or your real address or anything with so much of the internet, and why give them more than you need to? So,
Wow. Yeah,
this applies not just for people involved in politics. If you're a parent and you want to talk about your kid on social media, maybe just give them a fun nickname.
So if you wanted to take it a step further, not just using a pseudonym, is there something you can do to obscure your identity even more so?
Yeah, one of these services as I mentioned before, that helps you delete information you don't like. They also sell a service called Blur. This is by a company called Abine, which makes a bunch of privacy tools for consumers.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting about Blur is that it goes in and gives you a obscures your identity because it makes up a stand-in email address as well as a credit card number and phone number for, like, even on e-commerce sites. So when you're shopping on the Gap, it makes up a special Gap email for you and a special Gap credit card number for you and a special Gap phone number. Now, why do you want to do that? Well, one reason is that the data broker industry that's out there sort of making all these connections and making dossiers and all of us, they're looking for connections with your name or actually with the same credit card number or the phone number. So that's how they're building these dossiers on you. And if you use a service like this, you're kind of like foiling their efforts to do that.
Here's something that you point out that is really important to remember. Basically, anyone with access to your internet connection has access to you and could potentially spy on you. So how do we protect ourselves from that? You call it cloaking yourself. How do we go about doing that?
Yeah, if you're the kind of person that, you know, goes to the airport and uses public Wi-Fi, or if you're in New York City and you're using that public Wi-Fi that's on the street,
right.
You have to realize that those are probably exposed, and that could really put a lot of your data at risk for somebody who wants to snoop on you. So in those cases, I really recommend using a VPN, or virtual private network.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us actually get them for free from our employers, so that's a great place to start. There are some that they sell for consumers, but they're so many out there, you got to be really careful. I name a couple that I've tried and security pros that I know like in this column. Some people, there was a lot of buzz when the FCC changed its rules this year that said that they would allow ISPs to start tracking us like Google and Facebook
mm-hmm.
do. Some people started talking about, oh, should I use a VPN all the time at home? I'm not certain we're there yet. VPNs come with some trade-offs, both for security and actually for performance on your home network. For example, if you put some of these on your home computer, you might not be able to stream Netflix as well anymore or at all. So definitely, you know, we're not necessarily to the point yet where everybody needs to do this at home, but certainly when you travel.
We're speaking to the Wall Street Journal's Jeffrey Fowler about his guide to protecting yourself and your online privacy. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
This podcast is sponsored by HSBC. When it's time to take your business international or take your international presence to a whole new level, HSBC has the network to connect you to the world. Search HSBC International to learn more.
Thank you for joining us. So in keeping with the theme of cloaking yourself, one last thing. What do you think about these encrypted messaging programs?
Yeah, this is, again, a slightly more advanced user thing. But if you're going to be chatting back and forth with somebody, you should, and you're going to make a choice about which system to use, choose one that is encrypted end-to-end, which means that both sides of the conversation are that way. And that's actually the case now with WhatsApp, as well as the iMessage app, and then you can get even more advanced ones called Signal. The thing to know, though, for non-techie folks, is that if you're going to do this, both sides of the conversation have to be using the same encrypted messaging service for this to work. You can't just, like, text anybody and have it be encrypted.
All important things to think about. Jeffrey Fowler, thank you for an unofficial guide to online privacy.
You bet.
For more, make sure you head to WSJ.com/tech. Jeff has provided every link, website, and has a great checklist that you can follow easily. That'll wrap up the tech news briefing for now. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom at The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.
Make sure to check out the Future of Everything podcast, because the future is closer than you think. All new episodes each Friday in June. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.